Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jeremiah 2:13 says that Israel forsook God, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out broken cisterns for themselves, which can hold no water. For this, God's judgment fell. Have we in the modern church hewed out broken cisterns? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on The Church in Babylon, Unleashing the Power of a Spirit-Filled Witness. Now, Erwin Lutzer talks once again about Babylon, idolatry, and you.
Where does this leave us? A couple of observations quickly. First of all, would you remember that idolatry, that all idols demand worship and allegiance? All idols demand it. These pagan gods demanded worship. They demanded allegiance. The people tried to get away from them. Just occurs to me now, you remember that old story about Tar Baby trying to get away, but it always kept sticking and they always kept coming back. They couldn't overcome their addictions. You know what they ended up doing? They ended up sacrificing their children to the god Moloch. That's how bad it became. Because you see, once you say, we're free from God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of his laws and all of his traditions and all those things, and now we're free to be our own gods, you never know where it's going to end up. But every god demands allegiance. And actually, idolatry is not, first of all, such things that we normally think of. It's certainly not the idols out on the fields, because we don't have that today. But we do have sports. And we do have business idols, and we do have people whose whole identity is wrapped up with relationships. We have women, for example, who feel that they are totally worthless unless there is a man on their arm. That also can be an idol. And as a result of that, you see, whether or not it's money or fame or adulation or being well thought of, you know, Calvin, the great theologian, said that the human mind is an idol factory. It's always just generating one idol after another. And God has to come along and show those idols to us. I may have idols in my life that I am even unaware of, but when we are serious with God, He begins to show us, because He also demands allegiance. And the first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Anything that we love more than God, anything that satisfies us more than God, is an idol. It could be our family. It could be something good, totally justified. But is God first? All gods demand allegiance, and certainly these gods did. Second, the answer is to return to the Lord. Now, I'm going to jump to chapter 3, and obviously in this series, we are not going to be going verse by verse, but chapter 3, verse 12, for example. Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will not look on you in anger, for I am merciful. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt that you rebelled against the Lord your God and scattered your favors among the foreigners under every green tree, and that you've not obeyed my voice. Return, O faithless children, for I am your master. God says to you and to me today, return. Return even with your idols, because they're too strong for you to deal with. But the Bible says in Thessalonians that we turn to God from idols. In other words, God doesn't say, leave your idols behind and come to me. How do you tell somebody addicted to an idol, leave it behind and come to me? No, you come with your idol, but you come to God to know that He's the one to forgive you and to deliver you and bring you hope and bring you back to the satisfying fountain. But you come to God seriously with your idols. You know, this past Friday night, Rebecca and I were at a banquet. Some of you perhaps were there, where Dr. Ben Carson spoke. He is one of the most famous surgeons in America. Can you imagine at the age of 33, he actually is head of the neurosurgical, I hope I pronounced that correctly, unit at Johns Hopkins University. He's the first man to take two twins joined at the head and successfully separate them. What a remarkable man. He actually has the gift of eye-hand coordination that is unusual. He also can think in three dimensions. I have no idea what that is. Bill, do you have any idea as to what it is to think in three dimensions? I think for most of us, one is about all we can handle. But as a teenager growing up in poverty, he was angry. You know, he actually said he took a hammer to hit his mother, and his brother grabbed the hammer as it was held up at the back of Ben. And then he was going to take a knife and put it into one of his friends, but the knife hit the friend's belt. And as he began to think about it, he said, "Anger is going to destroy me." He said he went into the bathroom, was there for 3 hours, reading the scripture, confessing to God, seeking God regarding anger, and according to his testimony, and if you were there, when he left the bathroom, that was the end of his anger. God did it upright. Which is very important if you're a surgeon working on somebody for 18 hours, as he has done. It's also important that because he's getting a lot of criticism now because he said some things that were politically incorrect. And one of the things that Saul Alinsky, who wrote that book, Radicals, to help people and community organizers, say that you have to demonize your opposition, because then when you demonize them, they'll say something that looks very stupid and you'll get them. And according to Ben Carson, and that actually is what he was talking about, he referenced Saul Alinsky. According to him, when all of this criticism comes, when the Boston Globe said that he was speaking to a hate group, for example, he doesn't even have to reply. He's totally at peace because anger has been taken away. Anger can become an idol. Getting even with somebody can mean more to us than God. I know somebody who said, "I'll never get right with God until these Christians make things right with me." That is idolatry. Yes, the Christians, if they wronged you, should make things right. But even if they don't, are you telling me that your justification is more important to you than your relationship with God, and you're blowing God off until somebody comes and apologizes? Clearly, God has second place. Idolatry is deep. It is abiding. It has many, many different idols. And God says, "I want in your heart that there be an altar, and that you bow before that altar, and the only altar before you bow is me, the Lord your God, your Redeemer." That's what God is after in our lives. I want to conclude with a word of hope here. You say, "Oh, Pastor Luther, you're painting such a dismal picture. I mean, you know, Judah going downhill looks a lot like America, though we don't want to overplay the relationship. What about Jeremiah, young man called, God calls him?" Listen, God calls you and me for this moment of history too. But now you're back to chapter 1. I want to show you something. Chapter 1, verse 17, this is what God said to this young prophet who was objecting to his call. Chapter 1, verse 17, and thank you for turning to it. The rustling of biblical pages makes me very happy up here. I hope I hear them often. "But you, dress yourself for work, arise, say to them everything that I command you. Don't be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them." Wow. You'd better respond to the call. And behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail against you, because I am with you, declares the Lord. I read and I say, oh, when did God make Jeremiah a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls? He made him that before he went to work that day. He said, get ready, put on your clothes. You're going to go to work. You're going to represent me. But I'm not saying, now, Jeremiah, go out there and be a fortified city. Be a bronze pillar. Be whatever. No, excuse me. God says, I have already made you that. I pre-qualified you to walk in victory. The God who calls you to this moment of history is the God who supplies what you need at this moment of history. The God who calls you for this moment and calls me for this moment gives to us all we need to walk in victory. He doesn't abandon us. He is with us. And one of the ways in which he strengthens us is by God's people. Because when Jesus died on the cross, his death was so sufficient. He says, not only is it proof that I love you, but I forgive you. I receive you. You are mine. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You come to me, the true fountain. Come to me and drink. Be done with the bitter streams that make you choke in the end. You come to me. And I invite you to do that if you've never received Christ as your Savior. I invite you to do that if you're a believer and you're not walking with God. Finally, get rid of those idols and bow before the sovereign Lord and say, I shall serve him only, no matter the cost. Father, we ask that even as we will be participating in a moment in your table, as a reminder that Jesus died for us, help us to realize that in light of the fact that he did all that for us, O Lord God, we give ourselves to you today without reservation. Expose the idols that we might with one heart and one mind serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Thank you so much for joining us. We've begun a series of messages entitled The Church in Babylon. And of course, we're going to be talking about some harsh truths. I say harsh, maybe I should use the word hard. But the point is, it is all not going to be simply positive messages, but in the midst of the honesty with which Jeremiah ministered, there were nuggets of hope. And that's what I want to do for you today. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you believe on him even as I urged you to do? Trust him, and then connect with us and tell us about the decision you've made.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Babylon, Idolatry, and You, the first message in a series on the Church in Babylon. Next time, don't miss When Darkness is Called Light, and Light, Darkness. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD, and we'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.